الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده على من لا نبي بعده ولا كتاب بعد كتابه ولا شريعة بعد شريعته ولا أمة بعد أمته أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحن نقص عليك نبأهم بالحق إنهم فتية آمنوا بربهم وزدناهم هدى وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم لا يؤمن أحدكم حتى يكون هواه تبعا لما جئت به أو كما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يا ربي صلي وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم جزى الله عنا نبينا محمدا صلى الله عليه وسلم بما هو أهله. Most respected honorable ulama and kiram, hufaz of the Quran, brothers and elders, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillah, as believers in Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, followers in the sunnah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, every Friday the ma'mool, the practice of the ummah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is that we recite Suratul Kahf. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned, then that person, man hafidha ashra ayatim min awwali surati al-kahf, usima min fitnati al-dajjal, aw kama qal sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that person who by hearts the beginning 10 verses of suratul kahf is guaranteed protection from the fitna of dajjal. In another hadith, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned that person, just the mere recitation of the entire suratul kahf, that also will serve as a means of protection for him from the fitna, the trials, the tribulations of Dajjal. But we recite the entire surah of Suratul Kahf and we don't see the name of Dajjal mentioned at all. The entire surah. If a person, maybe his eyes are paining, Mulana will say read a certain verse. Maybe the word eye is there, ayn. Or sometimes maybe it is the heart. Ulama will say read the certain verse. And maybe that verse has got something to do with the heart. You'll see the meaning has got to do with the heart. But here Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has exhorted every one of us to recite Suratul Kahf for protection from Dajjal, but Dajjal's name doesn't appear in the entire surah. So the lesson, as Mawlana Abul Hasan Ali al-Nadwi rahimullah explains, and he says that the theme of the entire surah is As-Sirah, the struggle between Iman and materialism, between Allah and Ghairullah. And the entire, throughout the surah, suratul, one is the incident of the Ashabul Kahf, the other incidents that will be discussed and detailed in the following and the forthcoming weeks. But today we just discuss Ashabul Kahf, those youth that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself says, the sleepers of the cave, famously known to us, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, نَحْنُ نَقُصُّ عَلَيْكَ نَبَأَهُمْ بِالْحَقِّ. That this incident of Ashabul Kahf, the royal pronoun is used, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, we take pride in detailing this incident. نَقُصُّ عَلَيْكَ, whatever is required for the hidayat of the ummah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, we will detail it to you. نَحْنُ نَقُصُّ عَلَيْكَ نَبَأَهُمْ بِالْحَقِّ. إِنَّهُمْ فِتْيَةٌ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala starts the introduction to say that this incident is about some youngsters. فِتْيَةٌ. These are some youngsters. فِتْيَة. And we know that youngsters, alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, these actually are the leaders of tomorrow. They are carrying the potential of tomorrow. If we want to know what's the musalli rate of tomorrow, look at the youngsters of today that are coming to the masjid. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّهُمْ فِتْيَة. These were youngsters, had worry and concern. And this is the nature of youngster. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, youth. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made youth such that those that are young, they are daring. They're strong-minded. They're willing to overcome and cross the oceans. But when they are determined to do something, they will do it. They'll put their head to it and they will do it. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about these youngsters, but they very easily swayed. If they come onto the right path, then they make the correct effort. But if they are on the wrong, then they really sometimes go off. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّهُمْ فِتْيَةٌ آمَنُوا بِرَبِّهِمْ. All they had, mufassirun explain and say, they had worry and concern for iman. They were just entered into the deen of Islam to say that, listen, this idol worship doesn't make sense to us. Because the leader of the time was Daqyanus, he was the king, involved in idol worship, call everyone to a festival, they used to cut and slaughter animals also on the name of these youngsters on the day of celebration. One doesn't participate and take part, he goes under the tree. Someone else also comes under the tree, and eventually there's a group of youngsters. All are sitting under the tree, and all very apprehensive. They don't know who's the spy amongst them. So no one has the courage, no one is able to muster up that ability to say, why are you here? He's scared. In case he is the spy to the king. Eventually Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave resolute to one of these youngsters, and he stood up and he says, why are you here? He asked the other brother, why are you here? So he's keeping quiet. Eventually he insists, he persists, he urges him into giving an answer, and he gives an answer. He says, listen, idol worship doesn't make sense to me. How do I bow down to this which is the creation of man? It can't benefit, it can't harm. So the other said, well, exactly why I'm here. And eventually all of them shared the same sentiments to say, we are here for the same reason. That idol worship doesn't make sense. Alhamdulillah, all of them got together. Fityatun amanu bi rabbihim. They had worry and concern. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَزِدْنَاهُمْ هُدَى. We'll increase, solidify, galvanize the iman. Because they had worry. Simple thing. Sometimes we see people sitting in the masjid after fajr, different times. They're sitting in fikr, in mashwara. We see, no, they're having mashwara. That mashwara is about the iman of the ummah. But the mere fact that they are worried, Allah protects those people. And Allah will protect us in our home. Simple. We don't have to reinvent the wheel. Every day, open up fadaili amal and do talim of the ahadith of Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Incidents of sahaba radiallahu anhum. Why I'm worried that my son, if today is so challenging, what's going to be the fitna and the trial? Every one of us, if a person is wearing a watch, no sane person will spend $1,000 or $2,000 on a watch and make wudu with it until he's not sure that that is water resistant. When he knows he's comfortable, someone else even tells him, "Why I even make wudu with it?" Oh, okay, it's fine. As long as it's loose, our wudu can be made with it. So he makes wudu with it. Else he won't make wudu with it. He'll make sure he takes it out. And we need to ask ourselves, how fitna resistant have we made and equipped our children? That they are going into environments of fitna, but are they resistant to that fitna? Irrespective of wherever we are going, there is fitna around. Whether we leave the masjid, there is a fitna. Whether you go to a shop, the person has to lower his gaze. He has to be careful. There is fitna and trial all the time, constantly. On the iman, there's an attack on the iman of every one of us. But the effort of iman, when we worried and concerned, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, divine arrangements are made for the protection of a person's iman. So these youngsters eventually spoke up. They said, listen, we all share same sentiments. What do we do? So they said, we need to identify an area where we all are going to worship Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. The first worry and concern is that we have to congregate together. And that's why the masjid is for the congregation of the entire ummah. For all of us, when we put all our iman together, the community. Let's take any item. Sometimes it's a toy of a son. So that maybe remote. That remote asks for 8 batteries. Let's say 8 batteries. Some of them 2, 3, 4. This remote is asking for 8. You buy 8 brand new batteries. Brand new batteries. Each one of them you place, but only one is upside down. Will that remote ever work? One is upside down. It's not going to work. So if we want protection of the entire ummah, protection of the whole society, the whole ummah has to come onto deen. For protection of all of us, we have to be worried and concerned for everyone. If that brother is not coming to the masjid, how I bring him? So these youngsters had worried and concern. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala galvanized that iman. Eventually the king he was given information that these youngsters are not in favor of idol worship. They are not coming, they're not going to attend the festivity. So we need to try and somehow persuade them and get them away from worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he says, call them. First thing, let's strip them of their garb. The royal garb that they have because they belong to royal blood, strip them of their garb. Now the world must know that we have disowned these people. So sometimes it would happen that when you want to be firm on your deen, it happens. How often is it happening with Muslim ladies that are working out for whatever reason? Sometimes men that are working out. How often isn't there a test? How often isn't there a test? Let's give an example of youngsters. This youngster is asked, he says, listen, if you join me in the drink, I take responsibility of giving you a promotion. But if you don't drink with us, you can't sit on the same table. If you're not going to join us, if you're not going to be with us, you can't rise in this enterprise, in this business house with us, in this company. You have to be part of us. When we go overseas, you have to be with us. What you mean you're going to make wudu, perform salah? It's no time to adjourn and wait for you. So sometimes, na'udhu billah, a person leaves his salah, he sacrifices. He says, listen, I'm not a habitual drinker. I'll drink for the sake of the job. But the job also I'll give more sadaqah. Na'udhu billah. So the temptation is there constantly. If a person's iman is not strong, then very easily we swayed away. Then these youngsters are stripped of their royal garb. Eventually they don't relent, they don't give in. Then the king says, he threatens them. He says, if that's the case, punishment is going to be meted out to you. These youngsters say, whatever needs to be done, has to be done. We worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whatever you have to do, you do. We'll do whatever we need to do. We have to bring iman in Allah. And that attack sometimes come on youngsters. And in different ways it comes. Those youngsters that are in school will know better the tests that sometimes come to you. Sometimes the temptations that are knocking on your heart, knocking on the door. But if there isn't that environment of iman, then sometimes they succumb to it. If the effort is not being made. But if iman is made, they understand it's haram. No, I will not do this. My Allah will become upset. My friends will be happy. But my Allah will be upset with me. I cannot do this. So the worry and concern, the effort of iman, these youngsters eventually, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them such firmness of iman that they stood up for qal. They stood up and they said, رَبُّنَا رَبُّ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ لَن نَدْعُوَ مِن دُونِهِ إِلَهَا. Never, we will never ever give up the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He says, okay. In the end of the day, blood is blood. We say, blood is thicker than water. So he says, no killing these people. Let's give them some respite. Maybe they'll change their minds. So he says, give you some time, think about it and come back. Those youngsters went, thought about it, found an exit and a plan to leave society. And they took refuge in a cave. They went and they took refuge in a cave to see how else do we safeguard our iman. This king wants to kill us. He doesn't want us to worship Allah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala now divinely made arrangements for the protection of these youngsters. Why? They wanted to protect the iman. Now don't worry. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whatever you require, I'll take care. And I will see to the arrangements of your protection, of your salvation, of your hidayat, of your guidance. These youngsters go into the cave. وَإِذْ اَعْتَزَلْتُمُوهُمْ وَمَا يَعْبُدُونَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ So ulama explain and say, there was three efforts that we made. Number one is that they divorced themselves from the haram environment. They took themselves out. That this environment is not conducive to iman. I have to leave this environment. Sometimes you have to make the decision that this group and clique of friends are not for me. They take me away from Allah. Because it's the time of salah, I feel it hard to even leave for salah. You say, we'll read namaz later. We are in a congregation, we'll read namaz later. So you need to understand that those group of people are not for you. Those group of friends are not my friends. They're taking me away from the deen of Allah. So it's to change that environment. Remember, when a flower doesn't bloom, then we don't fix the flower. we fix the environment in which it is growing. Whether it be an orchid sometimes, it's not working, just not growing. Sometimes I understand, maybe you put in extra water. Orchid doesn't need so much of water, every day you're watering it. Or sometimes it's in too much of brightness and sun. Then you need to learn, where does this flower go? The flower automatically blooms when it is in the correct environment. Wallahi, every one of these youngsters in the masjid, in the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, all got potential. But the only problem is that the environment is not conducive. Sometimes our own home environment is not good for them. Because the father is not going to go. Father is not reading Quran Sharif. How do you expect the son to read his Quran Sharif, learn his sabak tomorrow, know it? Father, after Fajr Salah, there's no environment in the home. He also wants to sleep. Now you would, be hard on him. No, you have to learn. You got madrasa. Papa, all of you all are sleeping. I must learn sabak. All of you are sleeping. There's no environment. It's difficult for him to become hafiz. So that environment makes it difficult for him to become hafizul Quran. So change the environment. So leave that environment. Number two is to look for environment that will be conducive. Now I find a friend who will remind me, excuse me brother, how much Quran you read today? Hey, you went for the majlis, why you never come? What happened? Someone who's going to remind me, you didn't come to the Markaz program? We got together? Chah, maaf man, yeah, I went out, or there was some emergency. So there's someone who's going to remind you all the time. And we always in English famously say, we say birds of a feather flock together. We need to ask ourselves, in which flock do I belong? Who am I flying with? Am I with the chickens or am I with the eagles? Am I soaring into the heights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or am I still on ground level? Where am I when it comes to my ruhaniyah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Am I in the right click or not? Which click do I belong to? So alhamdulillah, these are three efforts we can make. Eventually these youngsters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took care that... وَلَبِثُوا فِي كَهْفِهِمْ 300 and more years they slept in the cave. 300 and more years they slept in the cave. Eventually, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took care. وَتَرَى الشَّمْسَ إِذَا طَلَعَتْ تَزَاوَرُ عَنْ كَهْفِهِمْ ذَاتَ الْيَمِينَ وَإِذَا غَرَبَتْ تَقْرِدُهُمْ ذَاتَ الشِّمَالِ وَهُمْ فِي فَجْوَةٍ مِّنْ. These youngsters in the cave, the sun would rise, the sun would set. But there was no sunburn. They never got sunburnt. But there was always sufficient heat to keep them fresh. And there was enough shade to avoid any sickness. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَنُقَلِّبُهُمْ ذَاتَ الْيَمِينَ وَذَاتَ الشِّمَالِ. If a person is on one position for too long, he'll get bed sores. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, we took the arrangements to make them sleep in a manner, we will turn them from right to left, no bed sores. After 300 or more years after waking up, 300 or more years, anyone who came to the cave, وَتَحْسَبُهُمْ أَيْقَاظًا وَهُمْ رُقُودٌ. You'll think these youngsters are awake. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made them sleep in a manner that an onlooker will be scared and afraid. Wait, hold on, don't go inside. These people are half awake, we can see they're half awake. Yet they were fast asleep. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took care of that. He says, no, they will have a peaceful sleep. Today we're so worried of tomorrow's rozi. These youngsters slept for 300 years and they woke up and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had arrangements for even their rozi. When they woke up the next, so Allah then speaks about the dog right at the entrance of the cave. Ulama explain and give us a very valuable point. That dog which is najis, that dog which is napak, that dog even is mentioned in Quran. Meaning that when we keep the environment and when we keep the company, the suhbah of the awliya and the friends of Allah, then no matter how napak we are, due to that company, Allah will bless us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bless us due to that companionship. Eventually these youngsters wake up, قَالَ قَائِلٌ مِّنْهُمْ كَمْ لَبِثْتُمْ. How long we slept? I'm feeling quite relaxed. One youngster says, listen, it seems to be maybe a portion of the day. Eventually they said, listen, this is futility. No need for us to talk how long we have slept. Listen, get the food. Why you want to argue on things that are baseless? There is a road ahead. We need to meet Allah. You want to speak and ask how long we slept? Leave that, get the food. One youngster goes, they give him some money, olden days money, he's going to town. Not realizing it's 300 years later, there's a new king. This king believes in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Doesn't know how to entrench into the people, how to believe that there is life after death. They can't understand. You die, how is there going to be resurrection? How is this body going to stand before Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala? Doesn't make sense. Eventually when these youngsters went to buy something, one of the shopkeepers caught them. He says, listen, this here is the treasure you dug into. He says, no treasure. He says, where's the money from? Eventually he let out the secret, I'm from the cave and we saw many boys. He says, no, wait, hold on, take you to the king. King says, wait, hold on. These youngsters belong to a previous era, few centuries ago. And everything was recorded. Wait, those are the same youngsters that took refuge and ran away. What happened? Let's call them. So they narrated the incident. Taqdeer of Allah, khair in everything. 300 years when they wake up later, now the king is so happy. He says, I didn't know how to teach these people that there's resurrection after death. Excuse me, youngsters, explain to these people what happened. He says, we slept for 300 years. We woke up today and this is who we are. We haven't aged. We just came for some food and we are apprehended. And here we have been taken into custody. We have been caught by these people. See who? Now the people believe if Allah can take the arrangements of looking after a person 300 years with no food, what's difficult for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to resurrect the person who passes away? So the king, eventually he got his job done. Also people understood that there is bath and there is life after that. And eventually now there is some discussion. The youngsters are talking, or the people after that are talking. And the Quran even speaks about it. سَيَنْقُولُونَ How many youngsters? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَلَا تُمَارِ فِيهِمْ إِلَّا مِرَاءً ظَاهِرًا Why are we wasting our time in futility? Why are we... You don't need to know what type of dog, what is the color of the dog, what breed was it, so we know that dog is a good dog. There's no need to delve into that. How many were the youngsters? No need for you to know that. What is important for your hidayah, take that. Always remember, this was number one, a very important lesson for the youngsters in general, and for us, but in general for all, but in particular the youngsters. Remember, you cannot build the youth of tomorrow. You cannot build the future for the youth of tomorrow. But you can build your youth for tomorrow. You can't make the next generation, meaning the next tomorrow year, make it for the youngsters. You can't do that. Time is always evolving. Things are always getting better. But you can prepare the youngster. You can build him for tomorrow. To say when the fitna comes, you've got iman. Allah will protect you. And that's all we require at the time of the fitna of Dajjal. We require strength of iman. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us tawfiq and the ability that the month of Ramadan is on our doorstep. Opportunities are there. A taraweeh salah will be taking place. I'tikaf will be taking place. Programs will be held. These are all opportunities to increase the level of iman. These are conducive environments for all of us. Let us make an effort. We don't come only for taraweeh. But make sure my son is also performing taraweeh. He's not running outside. He's not scratching cars. Not changing number plates. He's not doing the wrong things. He's also in the masjid. Because sometimes we make in announcements, you don't even know whose son is outside. Sometimes the own son is outside. So we have to be careful. Make sure our sons are performing taraweeh. Ourselves, there's an environment of iman, even in our homes. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us tawfiq and the ability to understand the value of iman, because everything is very fickle in life. After seeing what happened in Iraq, in Turkey, in Syria, you understand whatever we are making an effort for, in seconds can be lost. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us tawfiq wa akhir da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbi subhanahu wa ta'ala.